Anyway, we lost our daughter. She lost her job. We lost her dog all there within a week. And it was just like, at that point, what do you do? So we chose to run to him. And we just say, Jesus, you got to carry us right now because we can't carry each other. And we just wrapped ourselves in scripture. We wrapped ourselves in the Bible. We wrapped ourselves in anything we could get our hands on, worship music. We just chose joy. And we hurt, we cried, we reeled, but we chose joy.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. Hey guys, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. I am your host, Mike Hatch, and I am joined, as usual, with Chris Bollinger, who is the Amazon best-selling author of the men's devotional, Daily Strength for Men. We're grateful that you joined us today. We've got a great guest that I want to share a little bit about before we jump into it. His name is Chris Granger, and man, has he been through the ringer, man. God has taken him through the fire. I can't wait for you to hear his fence post story that he shares with us at the beginning. They lost a child at birth. And even before that, Chris's wife, previous wife, left him with two young girls that he had to figure out life about. We get to dive in pretty deep with Chris about how to deal with grief, both as a husband and then leading your wife and your family through it. And then we talk about what men are struggling with today and how his resources with Align Within Us are helping to bridge that gap and help men deal with some of the issues that we face every day. So I think you guys are going to get a ton out of this interview. I can't wait for you to hear from Chris. So I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's jump into our interview with Chris Granger. Hey, Chris Granger, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. So those who are listening right now, you can't see this, but Chris has like the most amazing setup right now with this incredible lion graphic over his shoulder, kind of faded into the black, and then the Lion Within Us logo on my top left as I'm looking at him. Dude, just sweet. So make sure if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel that you go there.
There you go.
And get the eye candy that we're enjoying right now too. So Chris, we're so grateful to have you, man. Thank you for joining us. And I'm really excited to hear more about your ministry, The Lion Within Us, your podcast. You've got a ton of resources available for men. Man, I'm really inspired by what you've done because this is not necessarily your full-time job.
Right, right.
Which is very surprising. You are bivocational minister, man. That's for sure. So yeah, we'll start out, of course, with your fence post story, as we do with all of our guests. And again, if you're here for the first time, I'll just say that if you imagine a fence along a property, you've got those horizontal pieces, but they're held up by vertical posts. And each one of those vertical posts are representative of a significant moment in our life or people in our life that contribute to who we are today. And so, Chris, I'm looking forward to hearing about a few of your fence posts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, I guess the first fence post that I can remember would be my mom and my dad. You know, they just have always been there. My dad's my hero. My mom's, she's the saint. So they've just always, you know, a special place in my heart. Didn't really grow up in a church, though. So we weren't there. I did go to some vacation Bible school and things like that. But I really started going to church when I was around 15 or 16. And I went because my girlfriend went. So I had total wrong motivation, right, to go. But it was funny. But while I was there, I mean, the Spirit got me. And when I was 16 and I accepted Christ and, so I was did pretty good.
Real quick, in Young Life, when I used to be on staff with Young Life, we used to use that as motivation. We would say, hey, guys, there will be beautiful girls at this camp. You need to come. And that would work. That would work.
It worked, man. And I ended up being like you know, I ran for the, like the youth president club, the president of the youth, and got it. And my girlfriend at the time, she was the president before. So yeah, I mean, that was a pretty cool experience. And then, you know, just thinking back through my whole life, I've always been in different types of leadership roles too. So that kind of, that'd get to kind of where we're at now with the line within us. But so yeah, I mean, high school was following, was a believer, but definitely a baby Christian, man. I mean, big time. Went to college completely, not walked away, but I did. I lived for Chris. I wasn't living for Christ in college. And really, I was that way for most of my 20s until I held my oldest daughter in my arms for the first time. So that's probably the next post would be when her name's Chloe, when she was born in 2010. And at that point, I realized, you know what? There is more to life than me. You know, and I'm responsible for this little girl. I have no clue what I'm doing. So we had another child. She was born in 2012. Felt those same feelings again, and that's when we moved to North Carolina and got plugged in with a local church. First time I'd ever really been plugged in with a local church since high school, and it was really cool to plug into a church that just accepted us, that loved on us. Because I needed it, because about 2 years after we moved, my wife decided to leave. And I was standing in the kitchen with the 5-year-old and 3-year-old girls looking at their dad. And what do you do? You know, it was just us. It was us three. And she was gone. We went through a trial, and they ended up there with me 80% of the time. She does get some visitation, but. And that never happens, right? The dads never, quote unquote, win. There are no winners in divorce cases. But so, yeah, I had those little girls, man, and looking up to me. And I was like, you know what? I got to lead them the right way. So I stayed plugged in the church. The church wrapped its arms around me. The pastors actually testified at the court on my behalf as a character witness. So that helped big time, just to have the church behind me, because I was teaching Sunday school. I was trying to do the right things, right? You know, and really caught us by surprise, because I didn't see that coming. I mean, you know, some guys can see that they see it coming. I really didn't see it. I mean, it wasn't you know, festering for years or anything like that. So I don't know. I leaned on the church again, started doing, just kept serving. And then I met my wife that I'm married to now. And we dated for a year and couldn't take it anymore. Like, we're getting married. So basically it was within a year when we got married. And so that'd be another post, if you will. And her name's Rebecca, my best friend, definitely Proverbs 31. I know everybody says I got a Proverbs 31 woman. I do. Like, this chick is for real. She is legit.
Amen.
She does the sewing, the working, the garden, the hands. Like, she does it all, right? But I think she wears that purple from time to time. So, I mean, she does it all, man. She's crushing it. But and she's, like, rooted in the Word, too. So she grew up in the faith. Her dad was a pastor. Her mom homeschooled. She has three other siblings. And, like, Becca, I mean, she's solid when it comes to biblical, you know, just knowledge. She's got it. So she's my checkpoint, you know, and whenever I'm down, whenever I'm getting down on the lion, she'll bring me back to scripture and bring up areas that I need to think about. Or I can go to her and this is hard for some guys to do. I can go to her with questions around scripture and she can help me. And I'm okay with that. You know, and it's a very cool relationship that we've built. It's just a great, she's my best friend. So she's the pillar. And then
real quick, I'm sorry, Chris, I'm going to stop you for just a moment. Don't forget your thought. I think that what you just said is really critical that I just want to point out. I love that you go to your wife and can ask her questions about scripture. Here's the thing that I think guys often think or are have this misconception that they need to have all those answers scripturally. They need to be experts in theology and Bible and things like that. And obviously God wants us to grow in the knowledge of his word and of course, but what's I think more important is that we model our dependency on God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you've got a wife who's more steeped in scripture, that's modeling dependence on Christ, going to her and and getting insight. And it doesn't mean that you're relinquishing your role as the head in terms right. of a man's role. So I just want to point that out. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, for sure. And she'll tell you without a question, I'm the spiritual leader of the home. Mm-hmm. But that's the role that she wants me to be in. And I don't have a question on that, but I'm vulnerable enough and humble enough to know, you know what, if I have my partner, my best friend laying next to me in the bed and she can help me, you know, discern a verse that I'm struggling with, why not? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I went to her last night, I was struggling with something and she went, she's like, all right, pull your Bible out, go to Acts, go to chapter 4.
She's yes, like, it's somewhere. Great.
She's like, it's somewhere in chapter 4. She's like, oh, there it is. I'm like, you're awesome. Like how'd you do? So
that's fantastic.
So it's just cool. We got that type of relationship, right? So but for her, man, like she left. So we courted. There was no sleeping over. There was no, I mean, we came together, you know, physically on the night of our marriage. And we showed that to my daughters. Like there were no sleepovers. There were no going on vacations during that courtship. And she was very like diligent. Like it took me 3 or 4 dates before I could hold her hand. I mean, it was like intense. And I was like, I like this. This is a challenge, you know? It was important for us to show those girls. Cause at the time they were 6 and 7, somewhere around there when we were dating. So they needed to see that. Mm-hmm. And then, so she moved down from Virginia to North Carolina. We started our life together. She went to work at a little local church and we wanted to have a family. So, or expand our family rather. So, we got pregnant, she got pregnant rather, but I was a part of it. And then, we lost the baby about 9 weeks in. It was this was called a missed miscarriage. We didn't even know it. We just went in for a regular checkup and found it out. So we had lost that. So we struggled with that. And then, so that'd be another post. And we named that little baby Judah. And then we got pregnant again. And this was right around the pandemic, before the pandemic. So pandemic hit. She was pregnant. We were due in May of that year. And we found out it was a little girl. And her name, we named her Faith May. And she was going along great. And so the next post of our story kind of sucks, but I share it because I think there's value in sharing stories and experiences. 2 or 3 days before the due date, we were laying down in bed that night. She woke me up. She's like, I'm not feeling Faith. She's not moving around. So I was like, she's probably just, and she would sleep for some time and like, we wouldn't feel her and things like that. So we weren't too super worried about it. And so the girls were upstairs. I was like, do you want me to go with you? She's like, I'm just going to run to the hospital. No need to wait the girls. And like, we just want to make sure everything's okay. Like, all right, cool. So I went back to sleep actually and woke up and phone rang. And I'll never forget the words when she said, we've lost Faith. Uh-huh. And laying on the bathroom floor, just every time I tell the story, it still gets me. But just laying on the bathroom floor, just reeling, just trying to understand, to make sense of it. Called my parents. They were about an hour away. They came over. So this is the middle of the night. And my girls, so they took me to the hospital. I said, do not wake my girls. Like, I got to get through this with Becca before we wake our daughters. So I went to the hospital. So my dad actually for 2 days kept it under wraps. Like, he knew what was going on, but he tried to keep everything normal in their life. And so we get there, they had to induce her. And, you know, I told her, I said, look, we're having miracles. Like, I believe in the God of miracles. I prayed the story of Jairus, of Talitha, come over my daughter when she was born. I was like, you're going to open your eyes, right? You're going to open your eyes. And she didn't. She didn't open her eyes. And so I did a whole episode called Lions in Quiet Delivery Rooms, where I talked about this story, if any of your listeners want to check it out, where I really go in depth on how you can process grief with your wife. And so we were in there in that delivery room and we were trying to figure out how to make sense of it. And so we came home, we told our daughters, you know, we gathered them up and shared. At that point, we shared what had happened with the miscarriage as well as what had happened with Faith. And just it was just a moment. It was just a time of hurt for us. It was the middle of the pandemic. People couldn't come over. Even so, it was like the church family couldn't wrap their arms around us the way they can now. They did with like a meal train, though. I don't think we went without a meal for like 4 months or something. It was something crazy, beautiful. You know, so the church.
That's a huge deal, isn't it?
It means a lot. Yeah. It took a lot of stress off of us for sure. So we lost, like I said, we lost her on May 13th. 2 weeks later, my wife, she wanted to go back to work and just to try to get some normal, something normal right. going back in her life, right? Walks in and they let her go.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, so I was trying to hold her together because this is a small church. There's like three people who work there. And I'm like, and they never acknowledged the fact that we had a daughter. They never. And so this just shows you not every church is aligned with the Spirit, right? I mean, they're just not. And you gotta be aware of that if you're searching for a church.
So I'm sorry. She was on staff at the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Somehow I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She was on staff there as kind of like the admin type. So she's got an HR background now. She's got a killer job now. She loves what she does now. But yeah, so she walked into that, lost her job. And wow. A week before that, we went to bed, woke up the next morning, and we had a little Yorkie. And the Yorkie, little dog, was how we met each other. Okay. And he wasn't feeling good. We went to bed, woke up the next morning, and the dog died. And I was sitting there like, how am I going to tell my wife that her dog died? You know, this is unreal. It was like the worst country song ever, right? I mean, it's just bad.
Right.
You know, I mean, I literally was taking the dog to the funeral home. I was meeting the guy at the funeral home who like cremates animals. Mm-hmm. So I met him at the funeral home while I was picking up my daughter that day, right? They had called and said, so I'm like, yeah, this is officially the worst country song ever. So anyway, we lost our daughter. She lost her job. We lost her dog all there within a week. And it was just like, at that point, what do you do? So we chose to run to him and say, Jesus, you got to carry us right now because we can't carry each other. And we just wrapped ourselves in scripture. We wrapped ourselves in the Bible. We wrapped ourselves in anything we could get our hands on, worship music. We just chose joy. And we hurt, we cried, we reeled, but we chose joy. And you know what, Satan, you're not going to shake us. You're not going to pull us away from God in this trial. And she said, you know what, Chris, God's telling me September, we will be redeemed. So this was like after everything happened that summer, she's like, next September, we're going to be redeemed. I'm like, all right, September 2021. She's like, yep, September 21. I was like, all right, we'll roll with that. So she gets a great job, best job of her life. She's HR, like the head of HR of this company now. And then we got pregnant again. And then all the emotions came back up.
Right.
You know, like, oh, gosh, you got to be kidding me. So we go to the doctor for the first time to check it out. And they're like, yep. So your due date, September 4th. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, okay. So, all right. So so obviously high risk pregnancy. They extra checks and things like that. And I'm like, I am like a general in the army at these meetings, at the doctor's visits, right? I'm like, bro, I don't know what you got to do, but I ain't having a quiet delivery room again. Like, we're going to figure out something. So it was sometimes Becca had to calm me down, but I was just, and the engineer comes out like, show me the data, show me what you're doing, right? So anyway, we finally get to where they induced her. They induced her early, just because of the risk factors.
Right.
And on August 21st, Lily was born. And so her name's Lily Grace. And we were able to hear a crying baby for the first time, she and I together. And she has been the biggest blessing for us. So there's your next fence post. It would be Lily, joining us in August. And, it's been incredible to watch my wife. So my wife walked in to our family. So our girls are already past that baby stage. So it's kind of cool to see her go, you know, I've seen her as a mom since we got married 2017. Now I get to see her as like a new mom and how that takes and how she's adjusting. So that's been just a real blessing. And then we have a son that's on the way right now. He is due in November. So, we're praying our way through that, all the anxiety, the emotions that go with pregnancies with us. But we found out it's the son. I got a house full of women. So finally, you know, a little testosterone here now. Yeah. And so we're praying for that fence. That'll be the next fence post, I guess, if you will, there. And then all along the way, it was this whole podcast thing, you know, of my secular job where I work at now. I started a podcast and at the beginning of the pandemic, actually, 2020, February. And we recorded one episode, the podcast, the pandemic happened and everything shut down. So I was like, you know what? So I built a home studio and we never missed a beat. And 2.5 years later, we got 200 plus episodes out of that show.
Wow.
And we've been downloaded all over the world. It's been, and it's a very niche show, right? I mean, we're talking about like industrial manufacturing. Like it's nothing like glamorous about this stuff, but it's cool. I mean, it's obviously topics people care about when you're in that field. So God came to me basically towards right after Lily was born, somewhere in that timeline or late last year. It's like, all right, I've taught you this podcasting. Now use it for me. And so I just took this to Becca. It's like, here's what I feel like the Lord is trying to lead me to. What do you think? And we brainstormed. We came together. We got to talk about roaring, and it led to a lion, and then it led to the lion within us, and the lion of the tribe of Judah. And because I get tired of everybody talking about the Lamb of God without talking about the Lion of Judah, I'm like, He is fully Lamb and fully Lion. So let's bring that out more. And then the guy was like, I want you to serve Christian men. I'm like, you do have a sense of humor, because I live with a house full of women. So it was one thing after the other. And then it was ultimately around leadership, because ever since I've been 14, I've been in like a leadership manager role. I mean, it's been, when I think back through my career, always been leading people. I've just been blessed to have that opportunity. I mean, when I was 18, I was leading, you know, two or three mechanics at a garage as an 18-year-old. I mean, that stuff just doesn't happen anymore. But gave me those opportunities to help build up the skill sets to help guys, you know, around leadership. So that's the focus, is around leadership for Christian men, health, wealth, and self are kind of the three areas we talk about. And you know, if you can get your mind and body right, and you can get your career and finances right, and also don't forget, we got to be good husbands and dads. We can focus on those areas and bring it all together. That's what the Lion Within Us is all about. And it's been unreal. I think about 3 months in, it was already outpacing our other show. I mean, it was just crazy, you know. And sitting right now, we're in August recording. We're booked out through the rest of this calendar year with guests and people that I couldn't even dream to talk with and the stories and the feedback. It's been incredible. Of, you know what, I've been struggling with this, but the Lion Within Us, you guys talk about it, I don't feel, you know, so alone, so isolated. And it's been just it's been a true blessing,
man. Praise God. And the other podcast, by the way, for those of you, we'll have links to these, of course, in the show notes, is Eco Asks Why.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
right. And then, of course, the one you're also doing, The Lion Within Us. Yeah, it's so funny. I love how you got your start that way. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of, God kind of equipped you and then moved you into this new role. And I think both are ministry to you know, where you work or where you work, I guess, in both places. But but I would say they're both ministry, you know?
So. Yeah. Because in the other show, it's kind of cool where the theme is people and ideas over products. So we don't talk about products. And when I took that to executives, they're like, what do you mean you want to talk about people? I'm like, because that's what business is. It's people. I mean, let's highlight that. And we actually call them hero episodes. So let's talk about the heroes of industry, the people who never get a spotlight. Mm-hmm. Let's give them a spotlight and share their journeys. And I've had some great conversations about faith on that show that, hey, if they go there, I'm going to go there, man. You know, we're just going to let the Spirit lead it. But it's been pretty cool to learn that and to be able to do that at my other job.
Chris, before we talk about more about the Lion Within Us and leadership, I want to talk a little bit about grieving, because you've been in situations. I mean, you know, your first marriage ended you had your little girls at the time, very little, mm-hmm. with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to be their dad. You had to help them through that time, but you also had to grieve, you know, because your marriage had ended. You didn't expect it. It was out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were blessed to marry a wonderful woman after that, Rebecca, but you had to grieve two losses, loss of two children, with your girls being a little bit older. And you said for the second one, for Faith, you know, neither one of you really knew what to do. I mean, you're just mm-hmm. so affected by that loss. Tell us how'd you get through that time? I mean, you leaned on Jesus, obviously, but mm-hmm. how are you able to be a father leading your little girls through both those, well, all three of those losses? How were you able to do that?
Well, the first loss, I probably didn't do it right, you know, to be honest with you. Only, you know, I just, the first loss, it was basically, I was in 100% reaction mode.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to react because I didn't have time to grieve. I was trying to figure out, because my biggest thing was, how do I make my daughter's life normal again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden, because at that point, you know, my ex-wife, she was working from home. Like, actually, she wasn't working at all. She was a stay-at-home mom. So they didn't know anything else. They didn't know anything about daycare or anything like that. I mean, out the gate, it was like, all right, how could I put some normalcy in their life? And then God just opened the door. And he led me to a lady who runs a phenomenal daycare. They, you know, they had these long waiting lists. I walked in, looked like absolute, just it was horrible. And I sit down and told her the story. She's like, they start tomorrow. Go do what you, there's things I had to do at the doctor to get tests for him and stuff like that. So she's like, just go do it. They'll be here tomorrow. So, he just opened some doors and that really helped just create some normalcy again for them. You know, the first time that they went away for a weekend and they weren't home was probably the longest weekend of my life of you're in a big house. It's empty. It's quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, daddy, 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 daddy. And they're not there. So, and to this day, I still struggle. The weekends they're gone or when they have to go away and for a visit, they struggle too, but it's tough on dad. And so for that marriage, I never really grieved it properly.
Yeah.
To be honest, Chris, I just didn't. Yeah. Because I was too busy in trying to just maintain and keep them going. And then, but with Faith, you know, with her, the biggest thing with her is I grieved with Becca.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't push anything, but we grieved together. I didn't try to suppress it, hold it back, or be this big tough dude who doesn't talk about his feelings. No, I actually talked about it. And we openly talk about Faith. We named her, you know, which we had her name once we found it, you know, we were having a girl. And then, you know, I was pretty intentional around, you know, just making sure that I was going to protect my wife from others. You know, if they're going to come at her, if they want her to, maybe sometimes people think you're grieving too long or you bring up stuff. Nope. I'm the sheepdog when it comes to that, man. I'm like, I'm taking care of her. And I'm really big on like creating some boundaries to make sure that others understand, you know what? I can't be your grief counselor. You know, I can help my wife, but I can't be everybody's grief counselor. So I had to put some boundaries up to help us, you know, work through that. But probably some of the best things we did with grieving with Faith was we made a shadow box with some of her things from the hospital. The hospital, they treated us great. So we had some hand imprints and things like that. But just the process of making that shadow box, this memory box of her. Mm-hmm. And we took her to the beach that year. We took her urn there and we had like a little ceremony, just the four of us, just the family. And it was kind of special to have her there and to do that. And then we celebrate her birthday every year. Mm-hmm. We just had her 2-year birthday a few months ago. I get a cake. My wife's like, you know, how do you want to honor Faith? I was like, look, kids get birthday cakes, man. Like, we're going to do a birthday cake. So yeah, we have a birthday cake because I want to remember her. Mm-hmm. And also there's like there's a blanket that we wrapped her in at when she was born. And that blanket, whenever I see that blanket out, I know my wife's, something's going on with her.
Right.
So I can have a conversation with her, like, hey, you know, talk about faith. Or and sometimes she's like, no, I just want to hold the blanket, just think mm-hmm. about her. Or sometimes she'll want to talk about it. And, but we're just very open and honest about not trying to suppress it. It happened. How can we learn from it? How can we share this experience with others and help them with their grief? We took her to the beach again this year. My wife said, you know what? I want to take Faith. I just want to pack her and take her. I just want her to be close when we're at the beach, because it was Lily's first time at the beach, just, you know, going. So, you know, I recognize those things. And when they're important to her, they're important to me. And same, it's vice versa. You know, when I recorded that episode of Lions and Quiet Delivery Rooms, I had her in my pocket and the whole time. And I felt like, and I didn't let my wife listen to it either. I was like, I want you to hear it when it comes live.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want you to tell me, did we honor her well? And she called me, I mean, she's crying. She's like, there's no better way we can honor her than that. Just because it's very real, very vulnerable. But I also gave some really good tips to some guys who may be struggling with it, you know, same type of scenario, just to help them in their journey. So, so that's kind of, I know it's a long winded answer, but hopefully that helps.
I think that's really important that you did that podcast episode, because I mean, I'm terrible at grieving. I mean, my dad died a couple months ago, and you know, people kept coming up to me and saying, how you doing? And I would just brush them off. So I'm fine. Because that's the guy thing to do. Right.
Right.
And I think guys need help with grieving. I appreciate your doing an episode on that, just to, you know, you never know who's going to listen, but I really think guys need somebody to model for them or to give them advice on how to grieve. Cause I think the way I approach it is just move forward. Just, you know, just
right.
And I don't think that's terribly healthy.
No.
Let me ask you this real quick, if you don't mind, Chris.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I run into often is this mentality that, you know, people will, because you said you prayed hard mm-hmm. for Faith. And I've heard people unfortunately have some negative experiences spiritually because they've been told that for whatever reason, they didn't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't do enough and they still lost their child, and they feel like it's their fault because their faith wasn't strong enough. They didn't believe when they prayed, et cetera. I know those folks are out there. Maybe some guys are listening right now who've gone through something tragic, and that might be their perspective. And speak into that, if you don't mind, like speak to that guy's heart.
Well, first of all, bro, you got to realize we live in a fallen world and, you know, sin entered, and it's not a faith thing. I mean, for us, you know, and we didn't even question, you know, we'll never understand, you know, why it happened. Right. You know, why God chose for that to be Faith's path. But I also rejoice in the fact that, you know, when the first time Faith opened her eyes, she saw Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, you just have to learn, you know what? We're not going to have these answers here. We live in a fallen world. Everybody's different places in their journey. And, you know, Satan wants you to turn your back on God when those bad things happen, when those trials happen. And you can, I mean, we have a free will. You have a choice. You can make that. But if you really are made that commitment to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to run to him in those moments, you know, answer prayers. Sometimes you get yes. Sometimes you get no. Sometimes you get not right now. Right. You got to wait. And for that one with us, the answer was no. And it sucked. I'm not even going to lie about it. Like, that really sucked. Like, I did not like any of that. It was bad. But again, in August, we held Lily and the answer was yes. So, I mean, it ebbs and flows. It makes us who we are as men, as people, as individuals. And I think we can either take it, learn it, grow, or, you know, suppress it, go in depression, you know, be bitter. And, you know, or either be the even worse, like be lukewarm, that's even worse, in my opinion, and just be the guy. Well, you know, we go to church. How you doing? Well, blessed and highly favored. Well, how you really doing? Because anytime right. I hear that blessed and highly favored, that's like a flag for me, bro. When I hear that one, I'm like, so what's really going on? Like, so, yeah. Something's up with you, man. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah, hopefully that helps.
No, man, it does. It does. I really appreciate it. And it means so much coming from you, someone who's been through it. I think for guys to hear you share that is huge.
Thanks, man.
If let's transition to the line within us a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about that. And it's kind of cool because as you and I had our first conversation maybe a month ago now, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I just felt a lot of parallel kind of passion in terms of what we believe for men. I mean, we're empowered manhood.
Yeah.
Line within us is kind of like just a different way of saying that.
Right.
A very similar thing. Like we believe that men today, for us, we would say most men are disempowered. Most men lack confidence in handling the word of God, are insecure in their marriages and in their families. I don't have to tell you that. You know this stuff. Yeah. This stuff, which is why you do what you do. Yeah. So, share a little bit about what your motivation was for starting the line within us and what it stands for.
Yeah, man. I mean, the motivation is just how can I serve other people? That's the biggest thing. I've always just loved serving people. And so again, God laid it on my heart, use the podcast. That's the way you can actually reach a lot of people with, you know, just through that platform, that media. And you actually do a lot of good in podcasting. I mean, there's a lot of bad you can do too, obviously, but I really focused on, you know what, guys just want raw truth, man. They just want some truth,
yeah.
And they want to know how to lead, and they need to, I got my Bible on my lap. They need to know how you simplify and apply God's word. That's it. Mm-hmm. And for how can I take whatever trial that you are in right now and boil this book down that usually scares the living daylights out of guys.
Yeah.
Hey, let's just simplify this a little bit. Let's take a step back. We're on the winning team. We need to remember that. we have the victory team. And I know we feel like we've been defeated, but we're not.
Yeah.
And then how can we apply truth in these trials to give these guys power, fulfillment, and direction, man? So that's really where it's at. Just trying to, hey, let's take this, let's apply it, let's grow together. And so that's what it's been about, and just trying to really take this to the next level now of we're working towards a membership, we're working towards, you know, more courses, and I got a Bible study going that literally, like, I'll start the Bible study and I have an idea where what I want to talk about, but I've yet to have one where we like cover just what I want to talk about, because the guys just go. And they just, hey, I'm struggling with this. Or one guy brought up, you know what, why is it every time my wife says something, even though she says it innocently, I take it as a criticism? And we spent an hour talking about that, right? And digging into God's word and what we can discern there to help, you know, learn and grow from that. So, you know, that's what it's about. You know, I haven't done the seminary or formal training. I am a deacon at our church, but I think in a weird way, I've been talking to a lot of guys about this lately. I think that resonates with a lot of dudes, because I can talk to them because I am them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not preaching down to them, not bashing preachers, but I'm just not preaching. I'm just talking to them. Even when I teach Sunday school, man, I got asked to start teaching Sunday school, like the adult Sunday school, for a while back. I taught kids for years. That's a lot funner, by the way. You get to have Play-Doh and crayons. But anyway, that's another stuff.
Amen. That's good.
but adult Sunday school, you got to prep, right? You got to come in there ready. But when I come in there, I pull a chair up. Like, there's a podium there. And like usually the Sunday school teacher will sit at the podium and lead them. I literally pull the podium to the side and put it on the side of the room.
Right.
Pull a chair up and sit down with them eyeball to eyeball. And first time they did it, they looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, look, guys, like, I'm not above. I want to make sure that we're throughout this process, we're going to connect. We're going to have conversation. This is essentially a small group, because that's the way our church does small groups. It's with Sunday school. And I just feel more comfortable just sitting here talking with you guys. Plus, I'm a little anxious. So the thought of sitting up here on a podium kind of messes me up, and I'm just leaning into that, you know, because I've dealt with anxiety my whole life, and so when you talk about it, it's like you take the power away from that anxiety, so you just it makes it a little bit easier. So I've just tried to take that approach, and with the lion, it's the same thing, man. Just be real. Just be honest. Where am I struggling? I'm like, our marriage. I've brought this up. We see a marriage counselor. Why? Because we have a great marriage, but we want an incredible, amazing, just unbelievable marriage, and that's what we want. And we know to do that, we need to invest in our marriage and have people, you know, help guide us along. So we found a great Christian counselor who does that. But most guys would be scared to death to mention stuff like that. Like, wait a minute, you're dealing with anxiety. You lost babies. You see a marriage counselor. Why should I listen to you? Well, that's why, because like I'm willing to talk about these things, you know, and not like I have it all together, because we're slowly every day getting better. Let's get better together. That's kind of where it's at. And I think that's what resonates with a lot of listeners.
I love simplify and apply. I mean, I love the punchiness of it, but it's so true, right? I mean, it's what guys want, right?
Right.
You get into a lot of Bible studies where it seems so complicated. I mean, you're learning a lot, but now you leave feeling more confused than when you came in, because now you've got all this data swimming around in your head. Right. What you really wanted is, I'm dealing with this issue. Help me understand what God's telling me to do. You know, how do I apply God's word in this specific situation that I'm in? And
that's right.
You don't get that a lot, right? No. Guys are very simple creatures, right? I mean,
that's right.
Just tell me what I need to know so I can solve this problem. We don't get that very often. Instead, we get too much information and we don't know how to apply it.
Or we get fluff.
Too. Right.
You know, we'll get fluff and it doesn't really directly apply, or, you know, guys talk around circles and they never really tell you what they're really thinking. And I'll just cut it. Hey, what's really going on? You know, and let's figure it out. And then sometimes I don't know the best scripture. So I have what I call it a G to G strategy. Go to Google. So I'm going to Google.
Right.
And hey, give me some scripture about whatever this guy is dealing with. Right. And through the use of technology and things like that, I'll get close. And then once I get there, I'll do the study and I'll do the reading and all right, how can we apply this? Like we were talking about mentorship 2 weeks ago in our group. And I've been praying through some steps for me in my life for training and things like that. And, you know, I went to 1 Kings and the story of Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and how he didn't take the advice of the elders and he listened to his buddies. And that ruined him. So I brought that up last night and it was like, that was just a really salient way to bring all that together around mentorship and how we should be thinking, seeking advice of other people. And where do we seek that advice? Because if we're looking with just our buddies and yes men, that's all you're going to get is just yes men answers. Sometimes we need, you know, iron doesn't sharpen iron easily. That's like that is a process. And if you've ever actually seen it happen, like it takes a lot to move that metal around and it's a lot of friction and it's there for a reason because you need to have that. So me, I try to provide that friction for guys, that realness, that honestness, that openness, and just hit them in truth. But I mean, I do it with love, but also I'm not going to just say, I'm just not going to give an answer because that's what they want to hear. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And I think they resonated with that.
That's awesome. I don't know if you meant this or not. Maybe you did, or maybe you said it as we were talking about the line within us and I fell asleep for 10 seconds. That happens sometimes. I'm getting older. But no, I love that as Christians who've placed our faith in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus in us. That is Jesus' presence inside of us. That is the Lion of Judah, as you mentioned, in us, victor over sin and death. So we literally have, I mean, yes, we were made to reflect that, right, that courage and leadership, of course, as well as men, but we literally have the Lion in us, which, or within us, which empowers us. You know, I just seeing so many similarities here as we, you know, you talk and think about what we're standing for is empowered manhood and what you guys, what you stand for.
Amen, bro. And we forget that, right? I mean, we forget that we have the lion. And like I was telling my, literally this morning, my 11-year-old, she'll be 12 in 2 weeks. And we're going through the carpool line. And she was asking me about the lion. She's like, you doing anything with the lion day? I said, well, I'm going on another show. I'm like, don't forget you have the lion. She's like, well, I'm just a cub. I'm like, girl, you are a lion. Like, you are fierce.
That's great.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And don't you forget that. You are a lion. So go out there and unleash that lion, girl. And she was laughing when she got out. But I mean, too many times we forget that, man. And that's where I try to help guys too, you know. And I think that's why so many guys that I talk with are struggling with church and getting plugged in. They feel weird about it. And a lot of the worship feels a little weird. It's almost like we're singing like Jesus is our boyfriend. And I tell them like, look, Jesus is not your boyfriend. I mean, he is a savior. He's coming back. What is he going to, his tongue's going to be a sword. His eyes are going to be on fire. You have a tattoo on his thigh. Like, this is a tough dude. Like, you don't mess with it with Jesus. I mean, he walked up to a dead guy and yelled at him and made him come to life. I'm like, this is the guy. That's the guy I serve, you know? And I get it. He's 100% lamb, and I couldn't pay that. He did, but he's also 100% lion. And I just feel like so many times I've been talking to so many guys about the femininity of church and what that's looking like. And it's tough. We got to find ways to engage guys at a masculine level. And there's nothing wrong with masculinity when it's done in the right way. And, you know, because everybody wants to throw that word toxic out there. No. You know, if it's done correctly, you know, God made us man and woman. I mean, he made us in his image. I mean, he gave us the spirit of manhood. We need to embrace it and use it for good and get out there and do something with it.
Preach.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, so, I grew up in the church. I've been in church, you know, as long as I can remember. And I've heard a lot of these stories about Jesus so many times that I just kind of tune out. And I like it when I can see something new in a story. And I was thinking, and it's probably a couple of years ago now, but I was reading about Jesus being tempted. But before he was tempted, he fasted for 40 days. And I just sat down, I thought about what would that be like? I mean, the longest I fasted, I think, was a day and a half. And I was miserable at the end of that. I mean, I could barely function.
Right, right.
This was a month and a half. I mean, this was just an incredible amount of time. And it's, you know, the Bible's the master of understatement sometimes. And it says at the end, it says, he was hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I don't know how he functioned, you know, I don't know how, but we just kind of zoom past this stuff, you know, because we've heard it before.
Yeah.
But if you just stop and ponder some of this stuff, I mean, yeah, I mean,
well, think about
Jesus is just he was a man's man. Yes, he was a lamb, but he was a lion. I mean, he just, and that's God, right? And that's God in us, as Mike said. I mean, we have this within us, and I think we undervalue this to such a great degree.
Oh, I agree. I mean, think about like the story of the temple. We heard that 1,000 times, but it wasn't until I went back and I really started studying and thinking about it and praying over it. He didn't show up with a whip.
No.
You know, my boy went out and made one or found one or did something and came back. And then it don't say that the apostles were there helping him. No. I picture Jesus. He did this one-on-one. It was his deal. I mean, he cleared that whole temple by himself. I mean, he's a manly man. Again, he yelled at a dead guy and made him come to life. I mean, this is just, our God. We put him in these boxes. We try to put a box around him and put him in these little pictures and you know, painting with these, you know, holding these little lambs or kissing these little kids on the nose. And I get it. He does all that, but he's also a warrior. And I mean, he's a lion. And he overcome and Satan has no chance whatsoever against him. And let's take him out the box and then let's unleash it within and actually get out there and start doing something for the kingdom. I mean, there's no reason every day we shouldn't be sharing Jesus with someone.
And we do it. We don't, because we don't feel qualified. Or we don't feel like we know enough. Or what if they ask a question? I don't know. You never know until you get in and actually start trying it. So I'm like, what are you waiting on, guys? If you love people enough, if he comes back today, I was telling my Sunday school class this a few weeks ago, you know, if he comes back, your opportunity to share is gone. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. It's gone. You'll be with him. Hallelujah. We'll be there. We ain't got to worry about it. But what about the people that you passed by, you know, your entire life, and that you were just too scared to lean in and have that conversation because it may make you uncomfortable, or they may ask something I don't know. You know what? That happens to me all the time. And I'll go do the research and I'll come back to you, you know, but if you don't have the courage to get out there, you're just missing that opportunity, because that you could be the one person that keeps them separated from being separated from God for eternity just by having courage. Do you know Jesus? Are you a person of faith? I mean, you can find simple ways to engage a conversation and just share the gospel. And I mean, it's crazy to think that we think as Americans in particular, oh, that's what we pay pastors to do. And I'm just like, bro, you know, completely lost it. Like, you know, we want the church to raise our kids spiritually. Like, no, like that's a Sunday hour. Like, if your church, if you want your kids to grow spiritually, it's you, bro. It's the mirror. Like that's where it starts. It starts with yourself, as you, how you lead your family, who is showing up. And from there, then the Holy Spirit can start taking over and leading. And that's what it's all about.
And then when you get the courage to have that conversation with somebody, it always goes great, right? I mean, you know, I keep kicking myself because, you know, I'll do it every now and then, right? And I have a great conversation, and I, you know, somebody that I didn't know very well becomes a friend, and I have further conversations with them. But, you know, then I go back to my normally scheduled life, and I don't do it again for months.
Right.
I don't know why.
We put them in the box.
And it can be so easy too. It can just take an active interest in someone.
Right.
Just ask them about them. Yep. Start there. Just
people love talking about themselves.
Yes. And it's been said that, look, love is pretty synonymous with listening, actually.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, think of what Jesus did with the woman at the well, you know?
Right.
Nicodemus, it does, obviously there's a lot that Jesus says in those, but you know, he listened to them and drew them in anyway. That's beautiful. Yeah. And your point on the lion being, I think of C.S. Lewis, right? And the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where it talks about the fact that, the lion is great and good, but he's still a wild lion. He's still dangerous.
Right. You don't mess with that. That's right.
Right. Exactly. So share with us a little bit about some of the resources that you have on your website. Obviously, you've got the podcast, The Lion Within Us.
Yep.
Because I just love for guys to check you guys out and learn more about some of what you have to offer.
Well, thank you for so much just for asking for that. But our primary website is thelionwithin.us. So, you know, The Lion Within Us. There you go. So that's there. And so a couple resources. I wrote a Bible study that was like the first thing I did. As I wrote a Bible study, I sent it to our pastors. I had several pastors review it. Just to make sure that, you know, I didn't miss something or wasn't, you know, getting out of line. One of the pastors really helped me with some editing. So we have that out there. So that's it's actually set up to where it's a PowerPoint. It has a proctor guide and it has a participant guide. So you can actually, you can go through it yourself or you can lead a group of guys, you know, so I kind of designed it that way for your listeners that they want to. I'll give you the link and give you a code, what you can use, the code Empowered. And we'll just give it to them, like just for free. They can have it. I'll send you a link, and like I say, use that code Empowered, and we'll make sure you guys get hooked up with that. We did turn that into a course. So if you don't like to like go through stuff that way, I turned it into a video course. So that video is out there. That course is out there as well. We have the blogs out there. We've created a resource, 10 scriptures to fight like a lion, just to help guys with just memorizing scripture. So I picked 10 scriptures that are very impactful in my life, and we turned it into this pretty cool PDF you can print out. It's got like some emails that are set to come up and drop on a regular basis to kind of help walk alongside you as you're trying to memorize those scriptures. 9 Habits to Fight Like a Lion. So, I mean, we're trying to build resources that guys actually, you know, will find some value in. It's not just going to be a bunch of fluff, you know? So that's really where we're at on a lot of that stuff. Is, like I said, the Bible study on Thursday night. So that's a big part of how guys can work with this on at the primary page. When you jump on, you'll see a thing there for the Lion's Den. That's free. Just gets you into our email. That's all. And I don't have time to write like a bunch of emails. So I usually like send like one or two a week. That's about it. Is that all I could get time for? Just to share, hey, this is what's going on. Here's hopefully how it serves you this week. Just a way to engage with people. So that's the best way. Again, we're working towards a membership model. We'll probably be launching that, I think, in January. We'll launch that out. And then, you know, I'm not sure. God hasn't laid all those next steps out. I just know we're supposed to be serving right now and bringing good, wholesome content that's going to help guys grow to be the leaders they're predestined to be. And I feel like that's what we're doing every week. And God's blessing it. And I'm just trying not to screw it up, to be honest.
is that Bible study? Is that like a Zoom call? Is that what that is? Or what is?
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible study on Thursday nights. It's Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. If you're interested, just join the Lion's Den. Cause if you do, I'm going to send. So anybody that joins the Lion's Den, I actually record when I see that they join, I record a little video message, a little audio message, just welcoming them to the Lion's Den. And it opens up an opportunity to have a conversation too. So most of the guys that join, I actually jump on a quick Zoom call or Google Meet or something just to say hi. I mean, I'm not trying to sell them anything. I just want to say hi, understand what they're struggling with, because that's going to help me figure out what content do we need to build in the future to serve you. So that's been pretty cool, you know, how that works. But yeah, it's a Zoom call on Thursday night. So if you're interested, just join and let me know, and be glad to get you guys hooked up on that. And that's a really good opportunity just to dig in the word, have some fun with some guys.
Man. So good. So good. Yeah. Okay. So obviously if guys want to get in touch with you, the lion within us.
Yep. .us. Yep. .us.
Yep.
Email. Yeah, if they want to email, they can do that too. Chris@thelionwithin.us. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Okay. Yep. And you're on social media. I know I've seen you on LinkedIn, right?
I'm on LinkedIn. Oh, I built the Lion Within Us page there. We're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. I am terrible at social media. So I built a process. I'm, again, engineer. So we do drop like every day something in regards to the Lion Within Us, whether it's scripture, whether it's a quote from a guest, whether it's a snip, or just an update, like we do a book of the week. So if you connect with us on any of the social accounts, you will get some value there. You know, we're trying to not just be, you know, look at me. I'm actually trying to give you something that's going to help you. So pretty active. You know, cool thing about Facebook is you can schedule all that stuff out. So we go schedule stuff out weeks in advance, and it takes care of that. But that really, I'm trying to put stuff out there in guys' feeds that, you know, there's so much darkness in all these different platforms.
Yeah, man.
So if I can just drop a little light throughout your day on it, to me, that's what it's about. So yeah, hook up with us on our socials. So the website has the links for all that as well, if you guys want to check that out.
Man, that's great. Thank you, Chris, for doing this. Thank you for being with us, but thank you for answering the call that God had on your life to start this. It's meeting needs for sure.
Yeah.
Clearly. And I'm grateful to be locking arms with you for the sake of the gospel in men's lives, brother. It's good to know that we're not alone.
Amen, brother.
Each one of us, right? So let me pray for you as we close out here.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Chris. Thank you, God, for his ministry, for this time he just shared with us, Lord. Thank you for the men that he's drawing and impacting right now, God. Thank you, Father, for taking him through the fire. Man, taking him through a couple different times. And we know, Lord, that's part of your refining process, Lord. You refine our faith as you take us through hard, hard times of struggle and trial and hardship. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful to Chris and his wife and their family through all those times, Lord. And now giving him now the ability to share the treasure that you've given him. to share with others that that is really the presence of you in us, Lord, Christ in us, the lion within us, Father. We praise you, God, for that. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Chris. Great to be with you, buddy.
It was an honor, guys. Thank you so much.